Welcome back to another broadcast. We've been talking about the problems that people face and what kind of life they are experiencing. And sometimes there's people whose lives are troubled and they're having a difficult time in life. Sometimes they can't even pinpoint or place what they can see the source of their hurt and their pain. And as I look at some of the details of our previous broadcast, I've touched on things like you're looking at your life and it seems like it's so terrible right now that you would love to just escape all of this hurt and pain and sorrow that you're in exchange for all of the good times you've had in your life. Sometimes people wish that they were just never born. And that's not a light thing to just cast aside when someone's struggling in a matter like that. And looking at your life in that perspective sometimes gets people to long for the day that it's all going to be over and they're going to die. Some people make the wrong decision and they choose to take their life, which is really sad. And those individuals think that there isn't any hope. And I just want to interject in this message that there's always hope because there's always God. God's there for you. He may not seem to be present. There may have been circumstances that happened in your life that caused you to question why they happened or, in your mind, why he allowed them to happen. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the broadcast, so stay with me. But I do want to say this, that God is always there, and he'll always be there for you. So there's always hope because there's always God. But there are individuals who would be glad to exchange their life, give up all the good that they have just to escape the bad that they're experiencing. They long for death. Their heart and their soul just burns inside. It's like someone's run over them with a truck. Events in their life, when they remember them, think of them, or as they continue to occur, it's like sticking a knife into their heart. Let me ask you, do you find yourself always living in a state of alarm? You find yourself jumpy. You find yourself agitated. You find yourself afraid. Are you withdrawing from your friends? Are you withdrawing from social interaction? Do you no longer do the things that you really enjoy to do? You just want to just crawl up into a ball and just roll up and just hide, crawl under a rock. Let's just get away. Do you have trouble sleeping? Do you have nightmares in your dreams? Do you toss back and forth and just can't sleep? Now, sometimes that's due to a health reason, and sometimes it's due to too much caffeine, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, is your sleep fitful? Do you in your life feel trapped? And are you experiencing physical pain in your body that you cannot relate to any injury, you weren't in any accident, you didn't fall down, you don't have any kind of diagnosed disease? Are you just having pain in your body? And these things that I'm describing are describing individuals and some of the characteristics that we have seen from the scriptures of people who are going through traumatic experiences in their lives. And if you were with me on the previous broadcasts, each of these points we saw in the life of a man named Job. He was not a fairy tale story. It's not fictitious. It's not some make-believe or a parable that was just written in the scriptures. It was a man who actually existed, who went through the gravest trials that a human being could go through. And he came out the other end because God helped him through the whole moment. But in the midst of that, we've learned lessons. And this Bible has the answer for every problem that you'd ever face. It's just not, oh, turn to the fourth book, chapter 3. That's where it tells you how to deal with depression. It doesn't work that way. God has nuggets of truth spread all through the scriptures because much of the scripture is written about people and people's lives and what they experienced and what God did for them and how God did things for them. And from those experiences and people's lives recorded, we can learn things that are so important. And so maybe I've described your life. Maybe I've described the life of your husband or your wife or your children, or your parents, or your neighbor, or a church member. And these people may have experienced some great trauma, some traumatic event in their life that has wounded them in the deepest, innermost part of their being. And we still have just two more characteristics to look at that we can find in the book of Job. And these characteristics are those of individuals who've been traumatized. In Job chapter number 16, verse number 9, I'll give you just a minute to turn there. If you have a Bible open, turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. I'm glad for the scriptures. I found solace in this book. I have learned so much from this study for me personally to help other people. And so as we turn now to Job chapter 16, verse 9, let's just try and get some more help from the scriptures. Look what it says. Verse 9 says, "He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me." Seems like Job is describing somebody who's his enemy. Look what he says. "I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark." You know, he set me up so he could knock me down. Maybe you've done some shooting. And I remember as a kid, I had a BB gun and I used to have arrows that I used to shoot in my yard. And I set up marks and that's what I wanted to hit. And here, Job is saying that his enemy has taken him by the neck and shaken him. He set me up for his mark. And he said that he tears me in his wrath, who hates me. And who is he describing? Who he's describing is God. Look at verse number 11. "God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. He says, I was at ease, and he hath broken me asunder." Who's he saying broke him? He's saying God did by using those wicked people. "He hath also taken me by the neck and shaken me." Who's he saying is doing this? He's saying God is doing this. Who is he referring to when he says he tears me? He's referring to God. Who is he saying is the one that hates him? He's saying God does. And here's the point, that when people have experienced traumatic events in their life, it distorts their view of God. And now they see God in a different way, which is a wrongful way. And that's not a new event that's taken place. There are people who've gone through situations like this in their lives, maybe situations not as grave in their lives, and they've been hurt, discouraged, and they did not find resolve or solutions. No one was there to help them. Sometimes all we want to do is just straighten people out instead of bearing their burdens as we fulfill the law of Christ and help them overcome as they're fallen. But sometimes people just, they get angry and then they get angry at God. And I've met people and I've helped quite a few people who've been angry, and there's been quite a few that have not allowed me to help them. I'm thinking of somebody offhand right now that contacted me, I'd say probably 6 months ago. And they said that they wanted to get some help, that they were married and they were hoping to go into the ministry, and that they did not want to be a hindrance to their mate, and that they were struggling with anger and unforgiveness, and they wanted me to help them. And what I think they wanted is they wanted me to give them a verse or two and a real quick solution to whatever their problem was. And I told them that I would be more than glad to help them. And here's what I needed them to do. I needed them to sit quietly and ask the Lord to help them and to speak to them and to reveal from their heart what's truly there. And then on this piece of paper, I need for them to write down the name of everybody that they're angry with. And if they're angry with their mate, they need to write that down. If you're angry with your parents, you need to write that down. If you're angry with church members, I need you to write their names down. If you're angry with God, I need you to put his name down there also. And that usually takes people back when you say that, because they're not prepared for somebody to think that they're going to be angry at God. But I've met so many people who are angry at God. And that's because they're viewing things from through the eyes of hurt, which is what Job was doing. Remember what's happened to him. He's lost all of his family. He's lost all of his wealth. He's lost his health. And then his wife turns against him, and all of society that was around him abandoned him. And then here comes three people who are now, they're really revealing the envy that they've had for Job as he was a judge that sat at the gate. And now they begin to attack him. Although he's referred to as friends, because friends can be a generic term of just people who are close in proximity to you with whom you interact. And here they begin to attack him, and everybody is against him. He's lost everything. And guess what? He sees God in a wrong way. Now, he doesn't charge God foolishly, and he doesn't sin against God, but he's thinking that it's God that's doing this to him, that God that's mad at him, that it's God that hates him. It's God who's shaking him by the neck. He doesn't know the scripture like we do, where God says, hey, have you seen anybody like my servant Job? There's none like him in all the land. And if you're familiar with the book, that's when the trial to really test Job and his integrity and his faith in God. But through the hurt, he winds up getting a distorted view of God. Sad to say, the individual that I talk with and said, list all of these things on a piece of paper, never got back to me. I saw him again later on face to face. And wanted to see how they were doing. It was a little bit of an uncomfortable setting because I knew and they knew, but nobody else knew what we had last talked about. And sad to say, they're probably still struggling in their anger because they did not want to come to grips with things. And you know what? God wants to help you. And if you're angry with him, he already knows. He's not the guilty one. He's not the one that's done anything wrong. But he wants to be there for you. And so you might be having a distorted view of God. Would you just trust me? Just trust somebody who loves the Lord, and there's countless others who do, to say the Lord is always faithful. If it looks like he's not faithful, it's the enemy who's distorting my view through my hurt. I got time for one more. And a person who's experiencing trauma sees themselves as having no hope. In verse 15 of chapter 17, just turn a page maybe, it says, and where is now hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? And here he's saying he doesn't have any hope. And in chapter 19, verse 10, he says, he hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and my hope hath he removed from me like a tree. And you know what? There's still hope. But he says, mine hope hath he removed like a tree. God is still there, but Job doesn't see any hope. He doesn't see it at all. But what he needs is somebody who does see hope, who does see that God is there, who does recognize that God wants to put the pieces together back in your life. He wants to heal that wounded soul. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be where you go to church one time, you go forward, go down the aisle, pray a prayer, come back, and everything's fine. You didn't get this way overnight, and it's not going to be something that's going to happen overnight to undo you. But I can tell you that God's grace is greater than any pain that you're experiencing. And God's grace is greater than any trauma. His grace can do a greater work than the trauma can do a wound. He wants to be there for you. He will be there for you. But you need to turn your heart to him. Reach out to somebody who loves the Lord and at least get them to pray with you and pray for you. Join me the next time in our next broadcast. But until then, God bless.